Business Baby with Melissa Ambers on Blog Talk Radio. Savvy solutions for your business.
Welcome to It's Business Baby. Thank you for coming on and joining us, discussing your book and, you know, amongst other things that you have going on. But I'm excited to talk to you about the title of this book.
I'm so excited to be here, and thank you so much for the invitation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's go ahead and get into, give us a little bit about, you know, what made you decide to not only to write a book, but to write a book about micromanagement. I know it's big. Some of us, you know, get confused with, you know, a pushy boss and all of that, but I mean, it's kind of moving from micromanagement to master leadership. How did you come up with the title, and what happened for you to say, let me write a book?
So it actually started off as a joke. First of all, I had written a book before this that was a Christian devotional, but I do have a background, a very long history of management and leadership in some very large, complex companies. And as a joke, a friend of mine had asked a couple of us about our opinion on the topic of micromanagement. And I flippantly said in response to her, oh, I could write a book. And as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I said, you really could write a book, Rhonda, so you should do that. And that's exactly what happened. I literally sat down and got the just blocked off the time to really delve into the subject of what's the difference between micromanagement and true leadership. And I found myself just pouring out the thoughts and my experiences from the past and really wanting to share with anybody who wanted to read the book that there is a difference, but also to give them some tools should they find themselves in a situation where they are being managed by a micromanager.
Okay. Okay. So has this been an experience for you?
So I go back to, I have been a long time senior executive with some very large companies in my past. And I realized looking back, when I was early in my management career, I absolutely was a micromanager, and this was when I was in my 20s. And looking back, I realized for me the reason why I was micromanaging was because I was insecure. I mean, I was a young manager managing very large organizations, and many times people in that organization were much older than I was. So it was my own insecurity, but it was also my way of trying to control a situation, so I found myself, when I looked back, I realized I had some of those same tendencies as I was writing about in the book. But I also learned as I was growing older and I was becoming more experienced, not only as a manager, but more importantly, as a leader, leaders don't micromanage. Managers micromanage. Leaders don't micromanage. You get to that place and that stage in your life where you realize you want your organization.
Okay, Rhonda, I hate to interrupt you, but you're going in and out, so it's like you're moving away from your mic.
Okay, I am actually standing right here with my mic. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly now, right.
Okay. So I got to that place in my own career where I realized that micromanaging doesn't work. Your organization, your people that report to you, the folks that you manage and supervise, they want you to trust them to do their job, and you need to step up to the plate as the manager and really be a leader, because when people follow you, they want to follow someone that they're comfortable with, and they want to follow someone that has a vision, that can articulate the vision, and people generally don't want to be micromanaged. They want to do the best job that they can, and they want you to help them do the best job that they can.
Right, right. So you were on the end of doing the micromanage. What were was your feedback from the people that you were micromanaging? And make, you know, did they give you something to make you change, or it was more like you say with your insecurities of, you know, your manager?
So really, I wasn't getting feedback because I wasn't asking for feedback. And it was many years later that I realized that the way to truly lead people is to first respect them and to understand that everyone you've hired in your organization or everyone you've inherited in your organization comes to you, comes to the table with talents. And so capitalize on the talents. But what really made me think about micromanaging is for a short period of time myself, I decided to take a new role in my career that wasn't managing people, and it was actually being managed by someone. And I saw those tendencies in my manager, and I said, oh, my goodness, years and years ago, I used to do the same thing. So this was just an opportune time for me to write the book, reflect on my life, and use what I had learned over these past 30 years in management to help others not only recognize the tendencies, but if you're in that situation and being micromanaged, what do you do about it? So the book goes into both sides of the equation. What do you do if you're being micromanaged? What are your own strategies that you have to put in place? How do you deal with that kind of manager? But also, if you're on the management track, how do you make sure you're not micromanaging? How do you respect your employees and bring the very best out in each of them so that your organization grows and thrives instead of is stagnant?
Okay. So would that be your reasoning for making this a series?
So what made me want to do a series is I've always taught on the topic of leadership, probably for about the past 25 years. And I've done keynote speeches, I've done workshops in this area, but I had never actually written a book. And it dawned on me that I have a tremendous background in leadership, not only teaching it, discussing it, modeling it, but why not write a series of books under the title or under the umbrella of Masterful Leadership? And I decided to do 6 books in the series. And so the first one was Micromanaging. And the second book that will be coming out towards the end of February is actually about teams and how to get your teams on one page so that they are a high-performing team and they're working together towards the same goal. So that will be the second book in the series.
Okay. So who are you trying to reach?
What I'm really trying to do in all of this is reach people who are in management roles who may not have a mentor. They may not have a coach. They may have been thrown into their position because they've been with the company a number of years, but no one's really giving them the tools on how to be a good manager. And more importantly, no one's giving them the tools on how to be a good leader. So that's my first target audience. But also the audience is just people who are in a corporate or an educational or a religious organization who are part of, you know, some kind of team, whether it's large or small. And what do you as an individual on a team, what do you have to do to bring your very best self to an organization so you make that organization better? So I decided to make sure that my audience, my target audience for the series of books was not only people in management, but people who are being managed and how they can affect change.
Okay. So what? How do you think your book can cross over to entrepreneurs?
So as entrepreneurs, and I'm an entrepreneur myself. So as entrepreneurs, I think sometimes we get into the business and we start growing our business and we start to manage other people. It could be virtual assistants. It could be the people that you're hiring to work your business. You want to be in your entrepreneurial space cultivating the right behaviors in your employees. You want them to work in your business as if it's their own business, but you have to present to them an atmosphere where they want to be nurtured and they want to grow and they want to thrive and they want to be as successful as you are successful. So for entrepreneurs who may be out there on their own but intend to grow their business, they have to understand that as you bring on employees, there is a way to bring them on, there's a way to grow them, there's a way to position them so that everybody wins and that the business as a whole thrives under your leadership.
So do you see taking this, you know, into having workshops?
Towards
the end of your series?
No. So it's interesting. When the book landed on Amazon, and within the first 4 hours, it became a number one bestseller, which was absolutely thrilling for me. I posted, I think it was that same evening, I posted on a couple social media sites, you know, a copy of the book, a picture of the book,
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, it's available, and people started downloading it. And I had a vice president of services contact me and say, hey, I just saw this book. I'd like to talk to you about maybe doing something in the future. And what it came down to is she wanted me to come to her company and actually conduct a workshop on the difference between micromanaging and leadership. So what I'm realizing is there is not only an audience out there, but this book is actually making a difference. It's sparking conversations. This particular vice president actually had all of her employees download the book and read it themselves. And it started even conversations in their staff meeting. So I will be going to their place to conduct a workshop on the issues of and the challenges of what's the difference between a manager and a leader. And it's all because I wrote this book. So I foresee not only future workshops, I foresee this as being a signature topic that I will do keynote speeches on, and that I'll be able to just build the series and build a series of workshops and workbooks and additional content that goes along with being a masterful leader.
Wow. I love it.
I'm excited.
It's very interesting, not only the topic, but someone actually that, you know what, I'm going to do this and put this out. And I guess the interesting part to me is that management is actually into it and that they're, you know, sharing it with their employees and, you know, here, read this, bringing you in to talk more about it. So I find that very interesting, and congratulations to you as well, you know,
Thank
for
you.
Being, you know, one of the best sellers and having such success with this. So let's talk about, you know, a little in detail the difference between, like you said, management and leader.
So here's my basic framework when I talk about the difference between managers and leaders. Managers are very task-oriented. Doesn't make them bad people, but they have a task at hand. They either have to grow revenue, they have to make sure a particular task gets completed. They may have to manage a group of people and make sure that that group of people gets their task done. But managers, for the whole, are not strategic people. They are just doing the task that their manager has given them. A true leader, in my opinion, is someone who paints a vision. And when they paint that vision, they can articulate it in a way that people who report to them want to follow the vision. And there, those people are asking that leader, how do we make this happen with you? A leader is someone who is not only strategic, a leader is someone who is able to roll out how the organization will be enhanced if they embrace the vision. Managers don't write vision statements. Leaders have to work with those organizations and roll out that vision and cascade it throughout the organization so that it becomes a reality and not just a document sitting on the shelf. And a leader has to model the behavior that is expected. So there's a huge difference to me between a manager and a leader, and it took me a few years in being a manager to realize that I aspired to so much more, and I wanted to be a leader, and I will tell you, I had a leg up in this area because I had amazing parents who from the very beginning taught their children that you must be a leader. You need to lead the kids in the neighborhood. You need to lead your organization in the church. You need to go to your job and exhibit leadership capabilities because everyone's looking for a good, strong leader. Very few people are looking for a manager.
Wow. Okay. You're on to something.
I am.
You are really on to something. And for the joke to turn into what it is today, it's almost like, okay, now let's laugh about it now. You know?
Exactly. You've hit it exactly on the head. You've hit it exactly on the head. Yeah. But I've been so fortunate because I grew up in a home where my dad was a minister and a pastor, and obviously that is a role of leadership. My mother was a very well-educated woman who led and taught. And my role models, I mean, my siblings, same way. I had the best role models that anyone could ever have in understanding how to lead diverse organizations and get everyone to the place of win.
Okay. So with everything that you just said, the difference between manager, a leader, what's expected out of a leader, we would expect a leader to lead us, like you said, you know, with the vision, to give me a path to follow. Is there a way, in your opinion, that you can take a manager and train them or teach them to be a leader and to know what's expected of them without them falling back into that micromanagement slot?
Well, okay, so I'm going to say something a little controversial.
Okay.
I do believe there are certain people that are born to be leaders. And they are very easily recognized, even as a child, that they have those skills.
Mm-hmm. I agree
should
that.
You
You're
not
right.
should okay, so should you not be born with those skills, your best bet is to be open to change, to seek
out—it's
huge, and not everybody's open to change. Let's keep it real.
That's
an
huge.
Ideal in the world of change management and cultural change every single day, because it's my little piece of the world where that's my expertise. But not everybody's open to change. There are so many people that talk about change, but when the rubber hits the road, they don't actually want to put the money down to make sure that they are changing. They don't want to put their money where their mouth where their money is, or money where your mouth is, whatever the saying
is. Right.
So You must be open to change. You must be open to feedback. You have to be open to becoming the very best you that you can become. And guess what? More than likely, we can't become our best selves until we have somebody who's willing to mentor us and coach us into being our best self. You don't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I've evolved into my perfect self. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
But I've had excellent parents, but I've also had excellent mentors along the way. And close to 20 years ago, I actually hired for myself my very first executive coach. I said, you know what? There's more to this than I'm even fully understanding. I need a sounding board of someone who is wise and who is open and who's honest and can articulate where I should be looking, where I should be going, how I should be building up my gifts and talents and skills. And I put the money down and said, I'm hiring somebody to help me with this. And in the course of a very short time, I started to work with someone who helped me build up myself. And 20 years later, do you know that I still call that same coach every once in a while and say, hey, I got a situation here that I've never encountered. Can you help me walk through it and give me some pointers and feedback? So even though I've been in management for 30 years, I'm coachable because I want to be my best self. I want to bring my best self to the table, and I want to always be an influencer.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I like that you said that because there are some people that, I just said they're set in their ways. And
yes,
it's not
they
always,
are.
It's not always, you know, most of the time we say, okay, oh, well, you know, they of age, so they're set in their ways. It's not even that. I mean, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, they're just set in their ways, and it's no shifting. And that's okay.
Oh, I've seen 5-year olds set in their ways.
I
think each of us has to get to that place where we realize we may be very good at what we do. We may be talented at what we do. We may even be gifted, and there's a difference between talents and gifts. We may even be gifted at what we do. But if we want to be our best selves, we're not going to be that by ourselves. We're going to have to solicit help from someone who not only has our best interests at heart, but wants to see us succeed and wants to shore us up in areas in which we may have holes or gaps or maybe leaning. And the smartest thing anyone can do, if you really want to do the very best thing for yourself, invest in a coach. It's you're worth it. I'm not going to say it's worth it. You are worth it.
Right, right. And it's you know, when you get ready for that shifting in your life, it's not going to be easy.
Nope.
When you have that coach that's really sincere about getting you to that next level, they may say some things to hurt your feelings. But, you know, I tell people, okay, God, go suck it up, take your moment. But we ain't going to take too long in that moment. You know, take your moment and come on back, you know?
Yes, yes.
You know, it's not going to always be pretty.
It may not be pretty. But it is right when you get with the right coach. But again, it's just like being in your best health. In order to be in your best health, you're going to probably have to invest in joining a gym or getting into some type of exercise routine or something of the fact. But it's an investment in you. If you want your car to continue to drive at its optimum condition, you just can't run it into the ground. You're going to have to get some kind of regular maintenance. oil changes, filter changes, rotate those tires, whatever, because
right.
you're investing in the car to make sure that it's optimum for you. I say
right.
the same thing as far as not only your career, but your wholeness as a person. You have to
mm-hmm.
invest in yourself and get the right people on board on your team in order for you to be that optimized individual. Because you know what? If you're not optimized, you're not helping anybody.
So that takes me into my next question. With your title, you didn't only say leader, you said masterful leader. So with that masterful part come from investing in yourself, getting better at whatever your gift may be, and making the best out of it?
It's years of looking at me and making sure that I am being as honest with myself and trying to be my very best self. Masterful leadership for me is the fact that I have not only years of experience, but I also have organizations that have changed because of my leadership skills. I have companies that have changed because of my leadership skills, but also because I invested in myself, I invested in education, I invested in making sure that I went to workshops or I attended classes because I wanted my skill in the leadership area to be top-notch. I love coaching people. I love leading people. But when I'm asked, what do you like to do best? For a while there, it was, I don't really know, but I concluded not all that long ago. I love to coach leaders. I love to coach coaches because these are the people who are really impacting how our world moves forward, and I want to impact them in a positive way.
Wow. Wow. That's my comment. Wow. Wow. I love it. I love it. And I'm looking at your cover, and you have the
mm-hmm.
guy with the gears in his head and the whiny thing in his back. And I see that, and what takes me to, you know, I hone in on that. And then with your title, when you're managed and you're micromanaged, they turn you into a robot.
Yeah, and we can sign up for that if we want.
Right.
You know?
They turn you into a robot. And in order for you to get out that robot is, like you said, that manager being properly trained and learning to listen. Yes, we work in the same place. Yes, I may be your manager. I may be your supervisor, but you're still a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And can I just offer a word of advice for someone who is in that situation where they feel like they are being micromanaged? You know, one of the things I talk about in the book is there's a way to deal with that kind of manager. Sometimes you have to over-communicate with them because they don't feel comfortable with your skills unless they know all the details. Well, if that's the way they manage, and if that's the only way to keep everybody drama-free and on an even keel, then over-communicate with them because in the end, that will be less stress for you because they're not going to stress you as much. If that particular micromanager is asking you for itty-bitty details, then make sure that you provide, you know, a status report and email it to them. That way, if you're taking a day off, that email is still proof that you have provided the status. But micromanagers are real, folks. They're out there. They're in corporations. They're in educational institutions. They're in churches. So you have to learn to work with their style in order for you to not be stressed just because they are stressed. You can't
Right.
change them. You can't fix them. But you can have the tools to work with them.
What resource or advice would you give someone that is an employee? They're not quite ready for entrepreneur, and a lot of times when they hear coach, mentor, is you have to be an entrepreneur or some high-level executive or something. What resource would you give somebody that if you're, you know, a receptionist or whatever, that may need that sounding board? Where can they go to afford somebody or start off getting some help?
So I would say a couple different resources. Read everything that you can get your hands on, and certainly there are not only books, there are websites, there are blogs, there are whatever. So read all that you can read because you want to be as educated in making a decision as possible.
Okay,
if
what to read?
So I would, you know, do a search on coaching and mentoring. Do a search in that particular area because what you really want to do is you want to position yourself to find the right mentor for you. You want to position yourself to find the right coach for you. And again, if I can be transparent, coaching and mentoring is a service that's provided, and you as a consumer have to be willing to invest in yourself and go seek that coach or mentor because you want to be better. You want to do more. You want to be impactful. So it is not going to come to any of us through osmosis. It's not going to come to any of us in a dream. It is going to come to us because we have put ourselves in position to be coached, to be mentored, and we're open and we're ready to receive what is available. And so it may mean that you do your research and you say, well, who's out there mentoring? And maybe they're mentoring in an area that resonates with you. And you say, you know what, that's me. I need to get into that program. And remember, there are various price levels for coaching, for mentoring, but if you can't afford, you know, a bigger ticket item, let's say, then there are options such as I'm part of a group coach situation. It might be 6 or 10 people, and you're getting some training and education on a group level, and then you're probably also getting a little bit of laser focus on your situation. A group coaching session, a group coaching program generally is not as expensive as one-on-one coaching. So you have to first you have to set your mind that I want to find the right person to help me, and it means I'm going to have to invest in myself. And the one thing I learned in my 20s is when it was for me, somehow I found the money. If there was a pair of shoes that I really wanted, somehow I found the money.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's one thing I say, you know, people do what they want to do when they want to do it.
They do. They do.
And it's, you know, I don't have the money to do this, I don't have the money to do that. But didn't I see you, you know, sitting over there at the bar, you're drinking? Didn't I see you over here, you know, out to eat? I saw you in the mall. Oh, but I had to get these shoes. Those were cute. Okay.
Exactly. So I say take your shoe money and invest in yourself. Take your 6 months to 1 year's worth of shoe money because you probably have more than enough shoes or clothes or whatever, dinner out money, splurge money, whatever it is. You have to get to the point where you're willing to make the adjustment in where you put your money because the greatest investment you can have is in yourself. No one's going to do this for you just because they think you're a wonderful person. They may give you tips and tricks, but a long-term investment in self also means a longer-term investment with a mentor or a coach.
Like it. Like it. So, I mean, your book is, okay, off the chain. We'll just say that.
Thanks. Thank you.
And, I mean, I can't wait to see the 6 series, and actually would love to have you back for each one of them to pretty much have an interview and talk about each one of the series, and by the end, you know, group it all together, and here it is. Here's this big bucket of, you know, leadership, you know, so.
Yeah. So I can tell you that after the series of 6 is done, my plan is to ensure that there's also a workbook to go with each of the 6. But I will also have a live event in Houston, inviting awesome. Anybody who wants to come from all over the world. You're all going to be invited to attend the Masterful Leadership Institute. And so it will encompass everything that's in the 6 books. And I will be speaking. I will have some additional speakers come on as well. But that will be the culmination of the 6 books being done. So stay tuned for that as well.
Okay. So what other services do you offer?
So I do have individual as well as group coaching. And I actually have a group coaching program that's going to be starting up in March. There are 3 different groups that will be I will be doing coaching for, and if anybody wants information, they can either get, you know, basically go to my website or go to my Facebook page, and I talk a little bit more about the 3 programs that are going to be starting up. One of them is going to be geared towards women who are looking to build their confidence because they know that they have greater things they want to do in the future, but right now they're not necessarily equipped in the confidence area to really do that. The second group that I will be starting in March is a group for women who are a little bit older in age but want to make sure that emotionally and spiritually and psychologically, they're leaving a legacy behind for their children, their children's children, and those whom they impact. And so that particular group, they're looking for coaching in the area of, I haven't realized all my dreams, so how do I make sure that I'm putting all things in order? So that's the second group. And then the third group that I will be starting a group coaching practice with in March is a group of women who are in corporate America, and right now they're in middle management, and they're looking to make their next level up in terms of career transition to senior leaders, senior managers, and I'm going to help them deal with the glass ceiling issues. So group coaching is one. I do individual coaching on a very limited basis because individual coaching does take a lot of time and energy. So I only take a few clients on for individual coaching. I also do cultural change management workshops and consulting. And I do that primarily with corporations, educational university settings, or with even church religious institutions. So those are the services that I provide, and that's the way that I'm impacting the world.
Okay, well, tell us your social media and your website.
Okay, so my website is www.rhondageddes.com, and I'll spell my name, RhondaGeddes. So RhondaGeddes.com. My Twitter handle is RhondaGeddes. My Instagram is RhondaGeddes.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello. Okay, now we can. You went out again.
Okay. That's interesting. My Facebook page is facebook.com, and I flip-flop my names, and it's Geddes Rhonda.
Okay. If someone hears this and, you know, they go to their website And they may say, yeah, she a coach. She ain't going to want to coach me. I'm only a warehouse worker, whatever, you know, the case may be.
Right.
What would you, is there a way they can, you know, shoot you a message on social media, email or something, and that, you know, you'll actually reply back to them?
Oh, I absolutely do. So if anyone wants to email me, just email me at info@rhondageddes.com. Be more than happy to email with people and give them, you know, even a phone call if that would help. I'm not going to say I'm the coach for everybody, but I certainly believe that I have the skills to help a lot of people that are out there, both on a short-term basis or a long-term basis, to help them recognize the dreams that are in them.
Thank you for saying that, because so many people will come up, oh, I could coach anybody. Oh, anybody. No, you're not it for anybody. There's a special coach for an individual or, you know, it just depends. So thank you. Thank you for saying
yeah.
that.
I know who I do very well with, and someone might say, I just had someone ask this of me, I think 3 days ago, the new group coaching programs for women. And I said, for this particular time, this is the season that I'm in to help women. It doesn't mean I don't help men. I help men every single day of my life, every single day of my life, and every single day of my management and leadership career. I primarily manage men. So I'm very, very comfortable managing and leading and coaching and mentoring men as well as women. So don't be put off by that the three group coaching programs may be geared more towards women. Send me an email at info@rhondageddes.com. Let's see if I can help you. Maybe we can work together. And if we can't, and I can refer you to someone else, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling and you know, still having the conversation even with our technical difficulties. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
So, thank you so much. And, you know, we will definitely stay in touch. And, you know, like I said, have you back on to talk about your second series and each series after that.
Oh, well, I look forward to speaking to you again. Thank you so much. I'm glad we didn't have to postpone this. And everything happens for a reason. So this being recorded and then posted, it's still going to impact the world.
Yes. Yes, it will. Thank you so much again for coming on It's Business, Baby. And we will talk with you soon.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You too. Bye-bye.